Open Circle. This is Ed Angelus. We're now on Season 2, Episode 20 of this podcast. And this time we'll be discussing an interesting topic regarding cyber threats and how to protect your business in the virtual world. For today's podcast episode, we have invited a distinguished cybersecurity expert, Dr. Eric Cole, who have worked with the CIA, or Central Intelligence Agency, and was part of the Commission on Cybersecurity for President Barack Obama. As she shares with us his valuable insights on the significant importance of cybersecurity, as well as his recent book entitled Cyber Crisis, which is very relevant to our present digital economy. So let's get started. Thank you for listening to FinCircle and welcome to our podcast. 2020 posed a whole variety of unprecedented challenges for companies and individuals alike. In the face of a global pandemic, forest fires, and political unrest, it is easy to forget a major, a bit less tangible danger. 2020 was a record-breaking year for data loss due to breaches, as well as the sheer number of cyber attacks that took place. In view of this, we have gathered the most alarming cybersecurity statistics of 2020 in the past years, and we also take a look at the challenges and implications for companies in 2021 and the years to come. Besides the numbers of attacks having grown significantly over the past few years, the sophistication of those threats has also increased dramatically. This is due to the application of emerging technologies such as machine learning and artificial intelligence, as well as the greater tactical cooperation amongst hacker groups and state actors. Despite all the warnings and high-profile breaches, the state of readiness for most companies when it comes to cybersecurity is abysmal. Nearly 80% of senior IT employees and security leaders believe their companies lack sufficient protection against cyber attacks, despite increased IT security investments made in 2020. On average, every employee has access to 11 million files, but only 5% of companies' folders are properly protected. Just 57% of companies conducted a data security risk assessment in 2020. More than 77% of organizations do not have an incident response plan. And more than 93% of healthcare organizations reported at least one security breach in the last 3 years. The cost of data breaches have been consistently rising in recent years. The new vulnerabilities that emerged from shifting to a remote workforce greatly expanded the opportunities for cyber attacks and added many weak spots for hackers to exploit. Also, automated attacks by hackers and the ability to convert cryptocurrencies via ransomware have added to the cost of cybercrime. Every minute, there are $2.9 million that is lost to cybercrime. Top companies pay $25 per minute due to cybersecurity breaches. As of 2020, the average cost of a data breach was equivalent to $3.86 million. The average time to identify and contain a breach in 2020 was a staggering 280 days. The healthcare industry lost an estimated $25 billion to ransomware attacks in 2019. Cybercrime is projected to cost the world $10.5 trillion annually by 2025. The types of cyber threats, specifically malware, phishing, and ransomware, are still going on as we speak, and phishing still ranks as the go-to by most hackers because it is easy to do and often successful. Cyber criminals are quick to find ways to get around strengthened security, and the malware just keeps on coming. Malware increased by 358% overall, and ransomware increased by 435% as compared to 2019. And the world faces over 100,000 malicious websites and 10,000 malicious files daily. Phishing attacks account for more than 80% of reported security incidents. Google has registered over 2 million phishing sites as of January 2021, and this is up from 1.7 million in January 2020, which is equivalent to a 27% increase in the last 12 months. In 2019, 93.6% of observed malware was polymorphic, meaning it has the ability to continually change its code to evade detection. 94% of malware is delivered via email, and cyber attackers sought to profit from the unprecedented challenges brought on by the pandemic, and they have disrupted COVID-19 efforts and critical supply chains. Thus, supply chain attacks grew to 420% in just 12 months. Deep fakes and disinformation will become even more major threats in the future. With those potential losses looming, enterprises are realizing they have to spend money to protect themselves and are planning their budgets accordingly. But a lot remains to be done. In 2019, 60% of breaches exploited vulnerabilities for which a patch was available but not applied. Almost 50% of business PCs or desktops got infected once in 2019, were reinfected within the same year. 40% of IT leaders says cybersecurity job positions are the most difficult to fill. Smaller organizations that ranges from 1 to 250 employees have the highest targeted malicious email rate at 1 in 323. And 66% of companies will be spending some of their increased budget to comply with laws and regulations. Many of these companies complain that compliance mandates are a distraction from executing strategic plans. And the world, in terms of data, will store 200 zettabytes of data by 2025. And the aforementioned data will be stored in private, public, and utility infrastructures, as well as cloud data centers, personal computing devices such as PCs, laptops, tablets, and smartphones, as well as this what we call IoT or Internet of Things devices. The number of internet-connected devices is expected to increase from 31 billion in 2020 to 35 billion in 2021 and 75 billion in 2025. So having said all of this, what is our relevant takeaways? Cybersecurity statistics can point to gaps, growing threats, and alert us to trends. But the challenge is adapting to the data into a functional and agile risk management strategy to be able to better protect ourselves, and the need for this what we call better cyber hygiene and data loss prevention is evident. The alarming cybersecurity statistics for 2021 and beyond are a call to action for all company leaders around the world to take risk management more seriously. And considering the prevailing lack of qualified cyber workers, the limited knowledge of the magnitude of threats out there, as well as the unawareness of viable and trustworthy solutions, this may seem easier said than done, but it doesn't have to be. That's why we're now being called to act now so as to avoid all of this, if not most of this, risk, data loss, and security breaches. So it's very important that we look again at all of these statistics and take certain actions for us to be able to mitigate all of these underlying circumstances. We need to be vigilant and certainly do our own part in resolving this particular issue. In today's podcast episode, we'll be talking to a world-renowned cybersecurity expert who is also the founder and chief executive officer of Secure Anchor, and have worked with a variety of corporate clients under Fortune 50 companies, as well as with Lockheed Martin as chief scientist, at McAfee as CTO, and have previously worked with the CIA or Central Intelligence Agency, and was part of the Commission on Cybersecurity during the Obama administration. It's an honor and privilege to have you, Dr. Eric Cole, and welcome to FinCircle.
Thank you for having me.
Let's probably start by looking at the present state of affairs with regards to cybersecurity is concerned. Where are we at this stage and which direction are we going?
So to me, we are truly in the midst of a cyber crisis where many of us who have been tracking and working with security knew over the last 3 to 5 years that companies were ignoring security. They weren't thinking it was a top priority. They weren't fixing the basic measures and areas. And there was a lack of communication between the cybersecurity team and the executives. And in the last couple of months, we've seen this all sort of come to the surface where we started off with supply chain, with SolarWinds, where essentially they broke into one vendor and then used that to break into a lot of corporations, mainly for stealing of information. Then we saw ransomware attacks where they were going after large profile clients for $5 to $10 million of ransom. And then just in the past week or so, we've seen the merging of that, where we've now seen supply chain going after MSSPs that have thousands of customers and going after large scale ransomware attacks, where it looks like the estimate is over 50 million. And my prediction is as companies start to react to the ransomware and start fixing that, we're going to see September, October, November of this year, extortion attacks become the new norm. Because even if you go in and say, hey, I'm not paying the ransom, because I can recover my information. They're then going to say, well, unless you pay an extortion fee, we're going to put your information out on the internet. So to me, we're really at that point where, while I believe companies should be able to implement their own security, they haven't. So to me, it's the Enron moment in cybersecurity, where essentially, if you remember when Enron happened, the government basically said publicly traded companies can't self-regulate, the government needs to step in. And I believe we're at that moment with cybersecurity, where instead of blaming the Russians and saying that this is massive attacks and playing the victim role, we need to recognize that the current attacks we're seeing are preventable. The current attacks we're seeing are going after basic vectors, and organizations need to do a better job of protecting, securing, and encrypting their data. And unfortunately, they've proven they can't do it on their own. So to me, unfortunately, it is time for regulation.
You have a very impressive and stellar career on cybersecurity, Dr. Cole. Having worked with various leading corporate organizations like Lockheed Martin, as I mentioned a while ago, McAfee, among others, for more than 30 years. But what catches my attention is, and find very interesting, is your CIA stint as a hacker, as well as being an advisor to Mr. Bill Gates and President Obama with regards to cybersecurity. How was it like, and what are your relevant takeaways from these experiences?
The biggest takeaway that I always look at is you have to do what you love. If you truly are loving your job, people will see the energy, it will be contagious, and they'll want to work with you. And the other big, big takeaway is something that I learned early on in the CIA. When I first got hired and I was put in the office of security, I remember a more senior person, right, said, "Son, let's go for a walk." And we're going for a walk through headquarters, which you've probably seen in some of the Tom Clancy movies. And he's like, "Let me tell you how we do cybersecurity." And this was back in the early 90s. He goes, "We're going to send you to meetings and they're going to ask you if we can do this, whether it's secure and whether we have security's approval. And no matter what they say, I want you to always say, no, you can't do it. It's not secure." And he goes, "Most people will go away." He goes, "Then if they invite you to a second meeting, I want you to take a lot of notes and look really involved. And then at the end, when they say, do we have your approval? Give this big thought like you're really thinking. And just say, I'm sorry, it's still not secure. And then if they call you back to a third meeting, we will then get involved and we'll see whether we should approve it or not." And what struck me with that is that's how a lot of people still view security today, which it's a negative, it's a roadblock. It's something that you go to make life more difficult in order to protect and secure information. And I found that that is not how you win. To me, cybersecurity needs to be a business enabler. It needs to be able to help people accomplish their jobs. And one of the areas where I'm very successful with high profile people is they said, "Eric, when we say we want to do something, you always say yes. You always figure out a way to do it in a secure manner. And everyone else we talk to, when we say we want to do this, their response is, oh, that's too vulnerable. That has this issue, that has that issue." So to me, with security, we need to really shift this mindset. We have really brilliant people that are great at finding faults and vulnerabilities. So you probably ran across some of them, and I run across them, where whenever I present a solution, they're like, "But Eric, it is this vulnerability, this vulnerability, this vulnerability." And yeah, we need those people in the background, making sure we're balancing the risk. But we got to remember with security, the only way you're going to achieve 100% security is having zero functionality. So to me, just like the laws of gravity, whether you like them or not, they always apply. The laws of cybersecurity say, whenever you're adding functionality, you're decreasing security. Whenever you're adding functionality, you're increasing risk. So to me, we need to accept that there's always going to be some risk and balance it correctly in that environment. So that's to me, the first lesson is we need to always say yes and help people do things in a secure manner, balancing the risk. The second big thing, especially from the CIA, is don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to challenge the status quo. And that, there was one question that changed my life. I was in an all hands meeting at the CIA headquarters, And they're talking about, once again, this was in the 90s, right? Different time, different place. And they're talking about these internet technologies and deploying technologies on the internet. And I remember I'm sitting in the room and I raised my hand. And my boss, it was like 500 people. It was an all hands meeting. And my boss is in the front of the room and she looks at me and she's like, put your hands down, right? She's like, don't ask questions. You can't do that, right? I thought she was waving to me. So I'm waving back and she, and they finally call on me and I asked a question that changed my life and set the entire trajectory for my career. And that question was this: how do we know these systems are secure? We're deploying these things on the internet. How do we know they're secure? So one, I didn't realize, but when you ask a hard question that nobody knows the answer to, you're basically volunteering to solve it. So they go, Eric, thank you for solving it. So I go, okay. So I go in and I think there's mathematical proofs. So I start researching and checking and verifying, and I realize there's no way to prove a system is secure. The only way to prove a system is secure is by trying to break in and understand the vulnerabilities known as hacking, ethical hacking, right? Or any of those different terms we've used. So that set me on the trajectory of for 8 years being a professional hacker, where the goal was really to understand vulnerabilities and exposures, to understand the mindset of the attackers, so I can build, implement, and roll out more effective security measures.
There are several books that you've authored, Dr. Cole, and co-authored as well, namely Cyber Spying, Hackers Beware, Hiding in Plain Sight, Insider Threat, Network Security Bible, second edition. I love this book. Advanced Persistent Threat, Online Danger, which are all in demand and well received by cybersecurity professionals, enthusiasts, and the public as a whole. What are your main influences and motivation in writing these remarkable books?
And don't forget my newest book, Cyber Crisis. I just came out fresh off the press on that. But to me, like I said, I believe everybody is put on this planet for a purpose. Every one of us has a unique purpose. And my purpose for being on this planet is to really end suffering in cyberspace. To me, there's a lot of people that are getting injured, hurt, kids are being bullied, careers are being ruined. And I'm really on a mission to make cyberspace a safe place to live, work, and raise a family. And I believe you need to give back. So I'm a big fan of writing and podcasts and doing a lot of things that, to be honest with you, drives my team crazy, because it doesn't always directly lead to revenue. But I really believe if you have knowledge, expertise, and skills that other people don't have, you really need to give back. You need to really give back to the community. And that's my big motivation. And also, it's about problem solving. So if we go back to my first book, Hackers Beware, that came out in early 2000, back then I recognized the challenge we had in cybersecurity in 2000 was we didn't have enough people with the proper skill set. We didn't have enough people that had the technical skills. So I always looked for a solution and said, okay, what's a really good book that covers the comprehensive suite of cybersecurity that people know and one didn't exist? So I wrote it. And that's why I wrote Hackers Beware, Network Security Bible, and a lot of those technical books. Then about 3 years ago, I said, we have enough technical people. We have enough world-class security engineers. What we don't have is the average person understanding security. Doctors, parents, teachers, lawyers don't really know or understand the threats that are out there. So that's why I wrote Online Danger. And then about 2 years ago, I said, the real problem is executives at businesses don't understand that they're a target and that cybersecurity is their responsibility. There's not a really good business book written in a common language, not technical, right, that business executives can read and understand. And once again, I didn't find any, so I wrote a book. And that was my recent book that just came out June 1st, Cyber Crisis, that really helps people understand at a high level, it's not meant to be technical, what are the risks and exposures, and raise the awareness so people can take proper action and actually fix, implement, and roll out effective security measures.
Can you kindly share, Dr. Cole, with us some case study that you've seen on cybersecurity incidences that severely impacted some business enterprise? What have we learned from these circumstances?
So if we go in and look at some of the recent attacks that are out there, what I've looked at and noticed is almost all of the major attacks that we see in the news are all because organizations have servers that are accessible from the internet that are missing patches that contain critical data that's not properly encrypted. And I'm sitting there and I'm doing a case study going, wait a second, how could these big companies not be patching? I mean, it just seems absurd that these billion-dollar Fortune 50 companies don't have any patching and don't have any data protection. I know these companies are spending $15 million a year on security. They have 80 people on their security team, and something just didn't make sense. So when I went through and really looked at the case study, I came up with what I call the rule of 90%. And the rule of 90% is this. It turns out that most companies are patching 90% of their systems. They are protecting 90% of their data, and they are controlling 90% of the access. Now, if we're talking about advanced classes in college, like differential equations or physics, getting a 90% is good. And I remember when I was taking my third year of physics, if I got a 90% on an exam, woohoo, right? I was happy there. The problem is it doesn't work in security because if you have 100 servers and you're only patching 90% of them, 10 of your servers are vulnerable. 10% of your data is exposed. So to me, the big lesson learned is when we're talking about core areas, and there's two key things. If any system accessible from the internet is fully patched and does not contain critical data, the current attacks we're seeing today, the current ransomware, the current exposures, the current supply chain attacks we're seeing would not occur if those two things were done. Now, I'm not saying the adversary wouldn't try other tactics, but if we're looking at the current problem set, if organizations just did those two things 100%. So to me, the big lesson learned is you can go and buy all the artificial intelligence, behavioral analytics, and all that crazy stuff there. But if you don't have asset inventory, configuration management, and control of your data, if you don't have 100% of your internet-facing systems fully patched and 100% of your internet-facing systems with the data secured and protected, you're going to still get compromised no matter what else you do and no matter what else puts in place. So to me, that first lesson is we really need to focus on the real problem and the root cause of what's happening today and fix and address those issues.
The dark web, Dr. Cole, is gaining prominence as we know it today, which consequently increases the potential risk to all our internet users. How do you think we can somehow mitigate the underlying situation?
One of the things we have to recognize is whenever there's opportunity, there's always going to be crime, right? There's always going to be some criminal activity out there. To me, with the dark web, essentially, it's just an underground site for cyber criminals to be able to exchange, move, and mitigate data. So when I hear a lot of things of trying to shut down the dark web or trying to go in and regulate or make it illegal or things like that, what I always come back to is that's trying to fix the symptom. That's like if you go in and you're really sick and you're going to take cough medicine. Cough medicine is going to mask the problem, but it's not going to make you better, right? You ultimately have to get the medicine and fix the root cause. So to me, once again, it's okay to understand that the dark web exists and it's out there. But to me, what we need to focus on is how do we protect and control data and information? Because the root cause problem is why are companies allowed to take my personal data and put it on public-facing systems? Why are companies allowed with no repercussions to not protect my data and allow it to get on the dark web? So it's once again the current culture that I'm seeing in cybersecurity really frightens and concerns me because it's all about playing the victim and blaming the attacker. Like you see when these attacks come out, one of my favorite is like you saw with SolarWinds. When that first came out, you had a very large vendor that was impacted. basically go, oh, in our estimate, this would have taken thousands of programmers, thousands of years. This was one of the most advanced attacks we've ever seen, and there was nothing we could do about it. When in reality, when the dust settled and it came out, it turned out the attack was caused because a server wasn't patched with a weak password. And I'm sitting there going, wait, you're telling me breaking into a server that wasn't patched for over a year and had a weak password that wasn't changed for 2 years, that takes 1,000 people, 1,000 years? It's just crazy. But they're doing this narrative to make people think, and lawmakers and others, oh, this is such an advanced threat. There's nothing we can do about it. There's no way to solve it. And the dark web is bad, and the Russians are bad, and ransomware is bad. When in reality, the root cause problem is fixable. The current threats we're dealing with today, not all of them, but the current threats we're dealing with today are preventable, and we're ignoring it. Instead of companies stepping up saying we made a mistake and we need to fix the problem, they're instead of doing this smokescreen, blaming the dark web and blaming others, when in reality, let's just go in and fix the problem, implement effective security, and hold companies responsible for protecting and securing information.
During the pandemic situation, Dr. Koh, most corporate individuals are working remotely from home. How can businesses maintain its information properly shielded so as not to compromise its data integrity?
You know, that's always one of my favorite questions, because I talk to companies about the pandemic and what happened in 2020, and I always ask them a simple question to raise awareness. And the question is, how many new offices did you open in 2020? And most of them look at me going, Eric, we closed offices. We didn't open up any new offices. In 2019, we had 17 offices, and now we have 3. So I don't know what you're talking about. We didn't open, we closed down offices. And I said, okay, how many people do you have working from home in 2020 that previously wasn't working from home? And they go, well, it's all of our employees. Well, how many is that? And with one client I'm talking to, they said 6,000 people are now working from home. I said, okay, so you opened up 6,000 new offices in 2020. And it's like, wait for it. And they're like, oh yeah, we didn't even think about that. And the scary part is, when most companies normally open up an office, they do security checks, they implement an architecture, they put in robust measures and make sure anyone on that private network is protected or secured. Then because of COVID, you opened up 6,000 new offices with no security checks, no controls, no measures, no nothing. And now you have this big, big exposure point. So to me, the way you go in and fix and address this is what we're doing with our clients, is with the 3-tier architecture. So the first tier is all of your data needs to be controlled, protected, and secured in one spot. So we move that to a cloud, whether it's a public cloud, a private cloud, a hybrid cloud, we put that all controlled and managed in one spot. Then we have an authentication tier where we do two-factor, we monitor, we validate, we look for behavioral anomalies in terms of how the person is logging in, the data access, and the information. Because if you're looking at the data flows, there is a huge difference between a normal user and a compromised account. And then the third tier, which I think is getting at what you were looking for, is the endpoint needs to be a thin client. We can't have 4 terabyte hard drives at people's homes. That's just way too much data, way too much information. You go in and you take 6,000 new offices, each with 4,000 terabytes of hard drive space that are 90% full, and that's a problem. That's an accident waiting to happen, because once again, we don't have control and manageability over our data. So organizations need to recognize that location agnostic is the new norm. Whether people do or do not come back to the office, we need to make sure they're secure and protected. And the old model of having a robust architecture on-premise doesn't work anymore. We need to go in and move it to virtual, into the cloud. We need to have an authentication tier. And most importantly, we need to take away the hard drive and the local data storage on the endpoint and move all clients to thin clients to better protect and secure their operating system and their data.
In the Chinese language, Dr. Cole, the word crisis is composed of two characters, one representing danger and the other one is opportunity. And this was famously highlighted by John F. Kennedy, or JFK himself, during his campaign speeches in 1959 and 1960, respectively, which clearly reflects that in the midst of crisis lies an opportunity. Relatively, the book that you will be launching is entitled Cyber Crisis, which we can also associate with cyber opportunity. Can you kindly give us a high-level overview on this particular book, and what should we expect from it?
But by the way, I've never heard that, and that is amazing. I love that, how crisis is danger and opportunity, because you're right. You need to go in and fix it. And the other thing I didn't even realize when I wrote Cyber Crisis, but the reason I called it Cyber Crisis is because unless I make you aware of the danger, you can't take advantage of the opportunity. Because if you don't think it's a problem, you're not going to act. And that really is the goal of my book, is to raise awareness with business executives of the true dangers so they can take action, so they can actually go in and protect and secure. So Cyber Crisis is a business book. It's funny because on Amazon, I have hundreds of reviews. And the funny thing about people in cybersecurity and high achievers is you don't focus on the 99% amazing reviews, you focus on the one bad one. So one person who's a big fan of mine gave me a one star, and he says, I love Dr. Cole and I followed him for years and everything else. The problem is his book is not technical. It doesn't give me all the technical measures for doing this, this, and this, and this, and therefore I don't like it. I'm like, okay, your analysis is spot on. I wish you didn't give me one star, but you're right. This book is not a technical book. This is not Hackers Beware. This is not Network Security Bible. This is a business book in business language with business examples. And the idea is an executive can pick it up and in 2 hours read it, understand it, and say, okay, what's the opportunity? How can I go in and take better advantage of this to protect and secure my organization and make it properly secure? This book also has a secondary value, which is a lot of world-class cybersecurity engineers can't talk to the executives. They go, Eric, I go in and I talk to the executives and they don't understand and they don't know what I'm saying and this and that, and they're not asking the right questions. And to me, the problem is you're speaking in your language. I actually think there's a phrase that we use that's false. And the phrase that I grew up with is treat people the way you want to be treated. Well, here's the problem. If you're a world-class security engineer, you want to be treated like a world-class security engineer. You want to talk techie and you want to go deep. The problem is the execs don't know or understand that. So the real phrase is not treat people the way you want to be treated. The real phrase is treat people the way they want to be treated. Understand who you're talking to and treat them that way. So what I find is if you want to talk to executives, you need to understand their language. And that's what Cyber Crisis does. So technical people are reading it and saying, oh, this is the level of the conversation. This is how I talk to executives. These are the examples and analogies that I use. So to me, it really has a two-prong approach. One is to help executives understand they are a target and cybersecurity is their responsibility, and help technical people understand the level and language you need to better communicate and effectively get your message across to executives, CEOs, and COOs.
From your perspective, Dr. Cole, what are the things that we are doing effectively well and things that we can still improve further with regards to cybersecurity?
What we're doing very, very well is recognizing that cybersecurity is a priority. I don't know any organizations that aren't spending money on cybersecurity. I don't know many organizations that don't have people that are doing cybersecurity, hiring consultants, hiring third parties to do cybersecurity. So from a general awareness, I think we're doing very well. We're recognizing that cybersecurity is important. It's a household term. People understand and recognize it. It's being talked about on the news. The White House and Congress are all talking about cybersecurity. So I think we're doing that very, very well. And most organizations on preventing attacks are also doing that very well. They have a lot of preventive methodologies. Many firewalls that are in place are effectively dropping and stopping traffic. And there's a large percent of attacks that are not making it through. So in those areas, I think we're doing well. Where we're not doing well and where we need to improve is on the detection side. Right now with many organizations, if they don't prevent attacks, game over. We need to recognize that prevention is ideal, but detection is a must. We need to start putting in more visibility detection measures. The average company is compromised for 31 months before they detect it. It's crazy. I mean, it's almost 3 years that somebody is sick, an organization is not well, and nobody knows about it, and nobody takes action. So we need to greatly increase that visibility, and to me, change the goal of cybersecurity. The goal of cybersecurity is not to prevent some attacks. The goal of cybersecurity is to detect all attacks and control and minimize the damage and exposure of our data. The other thing we need to do a much better job at is owning the responsibility when breaches happen. Instead of blaming others and pointing the finger, we've learned this year, sanctions are not the answer, right? After the sanctions the United States put against Russia, the amount of attacks increased by 400%. Now, you could put emotion behind it, but one of my key rules is let data drive decisions, not emotions, right? Sanctions don't work. We need to have companies step up, own the problem, fix the problem, and take accountability when breaches occur, as opposed to trying to blame others and say, not my problem.
Given your wealth of experience on cybersecurity, Dr. Ko, any word of advice that you can give in our online community on how to be safe and secure in our digital realm? Moreover, your message to more than a good number of followers who look up to you and would also like to follow your digital path.
So first piece of advice is, it doesn't matter who you are or what you do, you are a target. It doesn't matter if you have a dollar in your bank account or hundreds of millions. It doesn't matter if you're a small company or a large company, you are a target, and cybersecurity is your responsibility. The challenge we have is only big breaches make it to the news. So if you watch the news, you could draw the false conclusion that only government entities are compromised, or only Fortune 500 companies are compromised, or only large infrastructure companies are compromised. But we've seen ransomware attacks for the last 3 years targeting individuals and targeting small companies, asking for ransom payments from $300 to $30,000. Yet that never makes it to the news. So there is a much bigger problem than what people realize, and you need to recognize you're a target. Now, the good news is there is a lot of security built in. If you're looking at online banking, e-commerce, a lot of the cloud-based solutions, they have a lot of security. Here's the problem. In many cases, it's not turned on by default. It's actually turned off. So you have to go in and turn it on. Like right now today, I don't care who you are. If you're doing online banking, you have to be doing two-factor authentication. Why are we still relying on simple passwords, right? Unless you're still wearing bell-bottom pants and listening to the Bee Gees, nothing wrong with them, right? But passwords are no longer best practice. We gotta move to two-factor authentication. Also, account notification. Almost everyone I know who's had identity theft and financial fraud against their individual accounts, if they had account notification where when somebody was trying to log in or access the accounts, they received notification, they could have responded, detected, and minimized the damage. But once again, we're putting the responsibility on other people. So we need to go in and turn on security, two-factor account notification, and start owning and accepting responsibility. Now, if you're one of those world-class security engineers where you're sitting there going, yeah, Eric, I'm doing all of that, then I have a different advice to you. Why aren't you helping others? You have knowledge and expertise that others don't have. You should be out there at local communities, at your PTA meetings, you should be giving presentations on cybersecurity. You should be putting out videos. You should be going to your church. You should be educating your community on those dangers, because you have a responsibility, because you have knowledge and expertise that others don't have. And just last thing on that, what is the demographic that is targeted, hit, and has more monetary theft than any other group? It's people over 65. It's our parents, our grandparents, our elderly folks that didn't grow up with computers. They don't understand computers, and they unfortunately fall victim to a lot of these scams. So if you have friends, parents, relatives that are over 65 and you haven't talked to them about cybersecurity, shame on you. You owe that responsibility to you and them. Because I don't know about you, but one of the worst feelings in the world is if my Nana, I'm Scottish, so we call her Nana. That's my grandma, if you're not familiar with the term. So if my Nana calls me, who's 93, and says that she lost her entire savings because of a cyber attack, not only would I be upset with her, but I don't know if I could forgive myself if I had the knowledge and didn't help her. So I actually, at least once a week, I have a list of friends and family members over 65, and I just call them up, email, and remind them of be careful of cybersecurity. So share your knowledge and share your information with others.
Very well said. Anyway, we're so excited, Dr. Cole, and can't wait to see this particular book, Cyber Crisis. So let's invite our podcast listeners on how will they be able to get it and where is it currently available? And most importantly, what is the easiest way of reaching out or contacting you?
So it's available at all bookstores. So whatever your favorite bookstore is, if it's Amazon, if it's Borders, I think they're out of business, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, they all have it. If you'd like a starting point or you want some more information, if you go to secure-anchor.com/cybercrisis, we have a book page that has information, details, table of contents, and information out there. I'm very big at giving back to the community. So if you, I have a podcast on YouTube called Life of a CISO. So if you're interested in being a leadership chief information security officer, check that out. Otherwise, follow me on LinkedIn or Twitter or any of the platforms. It's Eric Cole or Dr. D-R-E-R-I-C-C-O-L-E. And you can definitely find me on that. Essentially, if you put on Eric Cole, find the guy that does cybersecurity. I always jokingly say, if you go to Google and you type Eric Cole, three different people pop up: a hockey player, a person who's wanted for drug possession in 32 states, and a cybersecurity professional. Hopefully you can figure out which one is me, right? If you can't, just put in Dr. Eric Cole and I pop right up on cybersecurity. I'd love to hear from listeners and I'd love to see how I can help you make cyberspace a safe place to live, work, and raise a family.
Thanks so much, Dr. Cole, for sharing us your valuable insight on cybersecurity. Wish you all the best and great success in the future.
Edgar, it was truly a pleasure, and thank you so much for having me on the show.
Sincere appreciation to Dr. Eric Cole for sharing us his insightful views on cybersecurity. So please grab a copy of his remarkable book, Cyber Crisis, now available on Amazon and all major bookstores. We'd like to hear from you. Share us your thoughts regarding our topics and send us a message on the Anchor Voice message box. Your message could end up on our future podcast episode. Make sure you never miss any episodes of FinCircle by clicking the subscribe button or follow us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Radio Public, Pocket Cast, Overcast, Apple Podcasts, Audible, Amazon Podcasts, and Anchor.fm. You can also reach us on our website at fincircle.wordpress.com and our Facebook page at FinCircle Podcast. This concludes our podcast episode today. Thank you for listening on FinCircle. This is Ed Angeles. Let's catch up again soon.